Hi, this is John Udell. My guest this week is Mark Erickson. He's the director of SOA Strategy with Blue Note Networks. Blue Note offers an IP PBX system called Session Suite and has recently added on top of that a toolkit which makes it possible to integrate IP telephony and web services. When Mark talks about communications enabling business processes, he doesn't just mean enabling processes to talk to one another, but also to communicate with people and to coordinate the communication among people. So you're at the Gartner event, is that right?
Yeah, the Gartner Symposium IT Expo down in Orlando.
I was thinking that we could perhaps start by reviewing a little bit about SIP and related VoIP standards.
Okay.
For a long time, I've been looking forward to being able to do what I gather it is you guys are now in the business of doing, which is to bring a service-oriented development perspective to the world of voice.
Certainly.
But it's something that I've followed on and off over the years, and I have to say it's been a very confusing standards landscape as a sort of an outsider.
Okay.
So I wonder if we could kind of work through some of the basics of SIP and simple, and maybe also try to relate those things to systems that people will be familiar with. So I think for a lot of people, things like Skype and iChat are their most obvious examples of VoIP systems, but we should probably explain why those do or don't fit into the kind of a model that you're developing.
Okay. No, I'm not a SIP expert.
Yeah, neither am I. No,
yeah.
That's not what I'm looking for here. I'm looking
sure.
for more of an overview just to kind of frame the context.
Okay. And actually, I'm going to bring something up here that's going to help me talk to you, if you don't mind here.
Sure.
Just been miserable. Haven't been able to get the internet connectivity working in my room, so I've been.
Oh, really?
Less than normally connected.
Yeah, it's kind of like you've suffered a partial stroke when that happens, you know?
Yeah, that's a great analogy. Yeah, and when I do that, too, when I travel, I can take my phone extension with me in my room.
Right.
And that's really great, too, with a soft phone. If I make a phone call out from my room, it's just as if, like, the caller ID on the other end shows that it's, coming from my work number. And
mm-hmm.
I would be calling you on that now if I had internet connectivity.
And if you did, what VoIP system would you be using?
Well, I'd be using Session Suite.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we actually, Blue Note runs all our PBX phone systems on Session Suite. Session Suite's our own voice over IP product.
Mm-hmm.
It really is an IP PBX, and actually the company has a Fidelity heritage. There was a voice project in Fidelity where they were prototyping, wanted a software PBX and wanted a pure software solution.
Right.
And, didn't like the stories they were hearing from some of the hardware vendors. Like some vendors would come here and say, you have to rework your entire IP network to be able to deploy IP telephony.
Right.
And they didn't want to hear that.
Right.
And so they were looking for a pure software solution and were prototyping something and really wanted a vendor they could turn to. So they spun out this company to create a software product.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first over a year, the company was focused on building the core IP PBX capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
And since then have been focused on adding the SOA capabilities on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
It has all of the core SIP capabilities, SIP proxy, SIP registrar. And you mentioned the basics of SIP. One thing that when I first encountered SIP, I wasn't really aware of is that SIP is just a way of finding devices.
The acronym expands to Session Initiation Protocol,
exactly.
Right? And so it's not talking about the transport. It's just talking about how do you establish a connection.
Exactly. And the actual phone is referred to as a SIP user agent.
Mm-hmm.
And it has an address on the IP network. And when you pick up the phone, phone's talking to that SIP server it's registered with, and the dial tone, indicates you're connected to the server.
Mm-hmm.
And so dial tone still plays a role. And when you place a call, the whole process is translating that phone number into another user agent that you're trying to reach out there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole process of number translation and lookup in a registry of what is the IP address of that other phone.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a negotiation process where the two phones determine what media channels do we handle in common. Do we have a voice channel? Do we have a video channel? Do we have an IM channel? And ultimately, the SIP infrastructure SIP proxy can step out of the picture. They've initiated the session, and the actual media streams are connected directly between those user agents or phones.
Mm-hmm. Now, for people whose only experience, for example, I was an early tester of Vonage.
Okay.
But I'm certain that I never talked to another SIP phone. Well, maybe once I did when I was talking to someone at Vonage. But in general, I was talking to a proxy that was bridging over to the PSTN, the regular phone system.
Right.
Nowadays, though, there are more standards-based SIP phones out in the world. So I'm sure that, for example, if you were using your SIP phone now in your hotel room, most of the people that you would wind up talking to would still be on PSTN, but there would be some who would be on your own session suite system. And you've also conversed with people who are on other standards-based IP systems.
That's correct.
What's the sort of general state of play right now in terms of interop and in terms of the range of compatible standards-based systems that are actually out there in use?
The interoperability of SIP is very good. There's a program we participate in at the University of New Hampshire actually runs that is a SIP interoperability lab.
Really?
Yes.
At UNH, I should go over there.
Yeah, yeah. It actually has a broad scope. It's not just, you know, like a regional thing.
Mm-hmm.
So the interoperability of standards-compliant devices, phones, and codecs that are for the actual media stream is very good. But still, part of the challenge of if I make a phone call from my phone and out to someone else in another organization that is using voice over IP and using SIP standards, it's very likely that call is still going out to the PSTN through Gateway.
Oh, really?
You know, from Session Suite, and then coming back into that other organization.
And why is that?
There has to be some kind of registry in common and some kind of relationship between those organizations where they're going to share essentially an address book, an IP address book.
Okay.
On how to reach into that organization directly over IP.
For now, the PSTN winds up being that registry by default?
There are various standards and organizations that are working on solving that problem.
So is it ever the case that there is a direct connection, IP only, and if so, how does that currently occur?
That can occur where there could be a relationship directly between organizations where you know, sort of your extended enterprise network of partners, you recognize there's a lot of phone calls, you understand you both have IP telephony, and you can configure your directories to be aware of the other organization, and a proxy can recognize the phone number and pass that off to the other proxy system to translate that into an address in the other world.
And is that actually happening, for example, at your company? Are there such relationships already established?
Yeah, we're working on some relationships there, and we're working with some organizations that are building out commercial directories that can allow peering to various voice over IP networks.
Mm-hmm.
Like you mentioned, Vonage, this organization will perhaps surface the Vonage phone directory. And so if you make a call out to a customer as a business, and you're making an outbound call to that customer, and they happen to have Vonage, then the number could actually become a pure IP call.
Okay. Now, as I recall, and it may have changed, but one of the things I was curious about when I was using Vonage was, do I have access to the media stream? And at the time, I recall that the answer was no. That, in other words, the connection, the SIP connection, as I understand it, was standards-based, but the media streams were encrypted or were done in some proprietary way. And so I wouldn't have been able to, and this is, now we're starting to work toward the kinds of integration that are possible in a services-oriented world. Because I do, for example, a lot of telephone recording. So it was interesting to me to think about how can I get access to that media stream.
Yeah.
At the time, you know, there wasn't an obvious way to do that. In the world of Skype, I guess it's even farther away because it's not a SIP-based system, right? It's its own thing.
Right, right. Yeah, I don't know this. Yeah, Skype is not SIP-based, and it really is has its own way of doing a directory, which is actually leveraging the old Kazaa-style peer-to-peer mechanism for finding people in the network. Yeah, there is something about Vonage. I don't know the specifics of the openness there, but there are people that are actually SIP trunk providers, which is kind of an interesting business, too. Some that will actually provide that service to a home. so that you can use any open SIP clone or IP PBX and connect to a trunk provider, which will give you an address essentially in the SIP world, but also provide gatewaying functionality out to PSTN. In those cases, they're clearly using the open standards because you can plug and play any phone device and you don't have to have a specific branded phone adapter.
Okay. So in terms of the kinds of possibilities that are starting to become available, I'll ask you to elaborate, but just from my perspective, what I have been waiting for the longest time to have happen is the kind of a scenario in which it doesn't particularly matter how contact is made. So it could be a phone call. It could be a voice channel that is the initial connection, or it could be a data connection. In other words, you could be IMing with someone, and then it becomes interesting in the context of that conversation to sort of recruit a voice channel. So you do that, right? Mm-hmm. You just add the voice stream into the existing connection or vice versa. Mm-hmm. One of the classic illustrations of why this is pretty interesting is what happens when people who are on a voice channel suddenly need to exchange data, like, for example, a URL.
Right.
You know, and the process of speaking a URL is so painful that if we had the option, let me just hand it to you, right? Over a data channel, let's just recruit a data channel for this purpose. Or now let's switch to video, you know, as well as the whole sort of conference call nightmare that we still have to this day, where there's just no straightforward way to say, let's bring another person into this live call. I mean, the voice conference call dance is just painful still to this day, right? To the point where people have actually outsourced to conference bridges because no one can figure out how to use their conference calling. So those are some of the kind of routine but crucial possibilities that I see. And then you should tell me on sort of the high end of it, what are the other possibilities that you see once you open up this space to standards-based integration?
Yeah, that's a great point. And certainly Gartner at their show here are talking a lot about unified communications.
Well, we've been talking about it forever. I hope that we're finally on the threshold of...
They're actually still saying that there really is no complete solution or single vendor solution for unified communications still.
Well, it wouldn't matter if there was, because the only people that you could enjoy that complete solution with would be people who themselves had deployed the complete solution. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So until we sort of raise the level broadly, it's a common denominator problem.
Mm-hmm. And I think another piece is in addition to the communications channels and collaboration you talked about, is also making these channels effective for business processes.
Yeah.
And really communications enabling business processes.
Yes.
So multiple channels can be used as part of a process where humans need to be involved to make decisions.
There's
so many workflows where you need to get the right person in contact with the right person who can approve something.
Yeah, and this is the part that truly fascinates me, and it's what I gather is the focus of the piece that you've just announced. And so why don't you kind of talk through what that is and what it will enable people to
do. Sure. I think what we've been seeing is, a couple market trends or dynamics, and certainly one obvious one is the trend towards a service-oriented architecture and how organizations are starting to see the benefits in terms of business agility and reuse of a service-oriented architecture.
Mm-hmm.
It really is sort of another tool that helps IT deliver more business value.
Mm-hmm.
IT used to be just keep the lights on, run the back office applications, and now IT through SOA is delivering, new kinds of business value and certainly reducing some integration expenses, improving business agility. But it's interesting that enterprise telephony just has not sort of followed the same trend of providing value. It's still been very expensive to deploy phone systems.
Yep.
Very expensive phone devices are deployed at people's desktops, and they're not using them. They're using their cell phone.
Yep.
And so it becomes very expensive. It's very device-centric. It's about delivering the calls to the phone and not about enabling communications between people.
Well, we just have a fundamental cultural schism going on between the world of voice networking and the world of data networking.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you see this very clearly if you stick a toe into the waters of, let's say, Asterisk,
mm-hmm.
And I mean, the whole issue with Asterisk is that somebody comes to it from a data networking perspective and they think, well, I'm a geek, I can handle this. And then what they realize is, I don't understand any of the terminology in this world. You know what I mean? It's just a different culture. And so we sort of I think that that's the fundamental obstacle that's kind of slowed this whole game down, is it just really is two different networking cultures. And until we kind of bring them together in some meaningful way, we're all swimming upstream. But I think that the thing you alluded to is really what will be one of the key drivers. So the way that I talk about this a lot is to say that we're in now the business of articulating these business workflows, and we're starting to have an understanding about how SOA is going to be the framework for composing these workflows. But the exception handlers in all of these workflows are people. And exactly as you said, at a certain point, an exception is triggered, and the handling of that exception, to handle that, it means you have to get a hold of a particular person. And in a lot of cases, you have to get a hold of that particular person right now. Mm-hmm. And you have to communicate with that person in a rich way, which ideally would include the ability to exchange data and the ability to converse in real time. It's the ideal set of circumstances in which to do what I gather you guys are doing, which is to be able to connect that SOA web services workflow into the human domain. So talk a little bit about how that actually happens.
I would actually take it a step further than what you said. It's not just about connecting with that person, but it might be connecting with anyone with the authority or in a role mm-hmm. that can provide that approval.
Yeah.
That is needed.
Yes.
And so then it becomes less about phone numbers or the device, specific device you're trying to connect through a telephony network. And it's about, I need an approval, and this takes a VP level person to provide the approval.
Yes.
Over time, we think that rich presence capabilities will play a greater role in that.
Mm-hmm.
But today, in what we're delivering, being able to abstract away the telephony details and have some kind of identity, which might be a person identity, it might be their user ID inside of Active Directory, or it might be some URI that defines a role within the organization. The business process can call out through a web services API. With Session Suite SOA Edition, we refer to this particular API I'm talking about as our session lifecycle API, because it's all about managing the lifecycle of a session, establishing the session, adding parties, removing parties, terminating.
Mm-hmm.
It abstracts away many of the telephony details, including having to know about a SIP address or a phone number to contact that person.
Mm-hmm.
So if you wanted to contact a particular role, you could establish a session with that role. And then we have a plugin framework that can call out to external business systems or processes, create a web service, and provision that in Session Suite. And it will call out when certain events occur to, say, route a call or translate a number or do some kind of security enforcement in call establishment.
So when you said if you want to contact a particular role, the you refers in that case, in fact, to the service, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So this, in other words, it's actually a service which detects at a certain point that it needs some input from this thing, which, in fact, is a human being.
Correct.
This is a little bit analogous to Amazon's Mechanical Turk, where from a programmer's perspective, there is a web services call that says, I need this unit of work done, and somewhere out there on the other end of the wire, there's a human being.
No, that's an excellent idea. An analogy. If someone could place this call and they may know the phone number from their application or API and just pass it in and it will be dialed for them.
Mm-hmm.
But by abstracting away the telephony, it could be, I have some work that needs to be done. I need two people to talk. And yes, it's not about the specific phone number or identity. And then there's this plugin framework would actually call out. And this plugin could be written and say, my job as a plugin is to translate this role into finding someone who is available in that role that can fulfill this phone call.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll translate that number in that person's phone will ring.
But there's also the perspective of that the caller is a service, not a human.
Yes,
necessarily.
That's
right?
Correct.
Yeah.
The calling process could also be the web service call is causing us establishing a call between two parties as well.
Mm-hmm.
And both phones will ring. And so if they might get a voice announcement for the purpose of the call and say you're about to be connected, press pound to continue.
Yeah.
And all the parties, this might be multiple parties on a conference call who need to approve a an exception in a business process.
So let's work through this example then, because the workflow process, whose job it is to, let's say, bring two humans into contact in order to make a decision, doesn't obviously have access to the conversation that occurs between those two humans. On the other hand, in order for it to accept the fact that they've reached a successful conclusion, some piece of data needs to be relayed back to it from them. So how would that be arranged?
That's a great point. Another aspect of our APIs is attaching application context to a session.
What do you mean when you say attach application context?
It's essentially a tagging of the communication session with application data. And really fits also in with a service-oriented architecture with a loose coupling, since it's a free-form tagging, so any session can be tagged with essentially name-value pairs that stay with that session. And you might, for example, put in the account ID if a customer is calling in to a contact center.
Okay.
You might put their account ID in so that account stays with the call. That call came in as a result of a website, from a website like a click to call. You might put what web page they were on when they decided to have someone call them to help them. And in the case you're talking about approval, it might have much more information about, you know, who the customer is, perhaps some workflow identity, so that the person on the phone can bring up an application, and when they log in, that system can look out to Session Suite and see, is this person currently on any phone calls? If so, which ones? And is there any application data attached to that session? Yes, I see there's a session here. There's this workflow process. I'll bring that up on their screen along with their phone call, so the phone and the application can be synchronized then.
Okay. Now, from the perspective of looking outside in at Session Suite, I think you mentioned compliance. That's always a big driver for these kinds of things. In a world where regulatory requirements are driving people to flow their web services transactions through intermediaries, which are enforcing policy and monitoring and auditing and things like that, does Session Suite present the same kind of hooks? In other words, could I flow my Session Suite stuff through the same kind of intermediary, a web services intermediary that's also monitoring conventional SOAP traffic?
Our web services APIs are very standards compliant in terms of our, you know, support of the W3C standards and such. And when you deploy Session Suite, you can deploy it using any of the existing infrastructure you might have in support of an SOA.
Okay.
And that could include intermediaries, you know, XML appliances, ESBs, whatever, whatever the current investment is.
And the traffic that's flowing through Session Suite can be intermediated in a web services style?
Certainly.
Okay.
Certainly. And and it's interesting, I mentioned this plugin framework that calls out to external web services. Actually, here at Gartner, we've been demoing a compliance scenario for a financial services organization where, you know, there's a Chinese wall of communications between brokers and analysts.
Yeah.
And what this system does is, you know, it looks at who the parties are on a call, calls out this plugin, and it decides, should this be allowed or blocked? If it's blocked, it'll get a message, or do we need a human to intervene and talk to the person making the call to screen it? And it integrates with an application that does a screen pop to allow the client's agent to make a decision about the call and integrates with an external entitlement system to see who can talk to who.
Yeah.
The interesting part of it is that it actually, the plugin was implemented using Beeple.
Oh, yeah?
There was no web service written in the traditional sense of using a SOAP stack in a programming language. So it was sort of an example of you can use any SOAP toolkit or tools you want. And the business logic in this case was modeled in the Beeple tool. And it, the Beeple in turn, calls out to the entitlement system and to the application that does the screen pop. But without, it was a very effective way of showing writing call processing logic in that way.
Yeah. So in the case where these two parties are conversing, and let's say they add a data channel, that data channel can be anything?
Right now, for the data channel, it would be out of band with what we're doing.
Okay.
Other than the tagging I mentioned, the data tagging on the session.
Okay.
And the tagging really does, as I mentioned, support the loose coupling. You know, it helps solve the classic problem of calling in a call center and entering your account number or giving them your account number.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get transferred to another agent in mm-hmm. another division with another application and have to give them your account information all over. Because that account number was associated with that session, it will follow that session even as the phone call is transferred.
Right.
And another application without having any knowledge of the original application. All they share in common is the fact that always look at a session to see if there's an account ID there, or if there isn't one there, I'll tag it with an account ID.
Right. So you gave the brokerage example. What are some others that you're using to illustrate the possibilities?
Another interesting one is referred to as an intelligent assistant that looks at your calendar, availability on your calendar, and provides a little rules wizard that determines how your calls are routed. It's sort of a little more sophisticated than the traditional find me or follow me
mm-hmm.
functionality, where if your phone rings at one number, it goes to another, or if you're busy, you want to block your calls and have them go to straight to voicemail.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, it looks at the identity of the caller, the role of the caller, and also the your availability in the calendar. So you can set up a rule, for example, that says, if I'm in a meeting, all my calls will go to voicemail, except if it's my manager, in which case it will be routed to my cell phone.
So this is more in the domain of smart telephony than in the domain of services integration.
Yeah, it is in a sense, but it is implemented with the same web services plugin framework and APIs.
Okay. And you mentioned that presence is not a big feature of the system right now. Is that because I guess simple is sort of the presence extensions for SIP, that's still in a more formative state?
Yeah, that's part of it. Partly we wanted to get the necessary infrastructure out for people to get started today with communications enabling business processes.
Right.
And not have them require the full presence and other unified communications complete suite of channels.
Right.
But certainly on our roadmap over time, presence will be important. And we see over time that presence becomes more than just is a person online or not. It might be they're online and at work, or mm-hmm. they're online and they're in a particular role, so they're available to handle calls of a certain kind.
Mm-hmm.
It might also include location information.
Mm-hmm. And it could also be, is this process available? Or
yes.
Is this process available in the state that I need it to be available in?
Certainly. Mm-hmm.
So currently this is running by default with your own IP PBX system, but I'm guessing that it works with others as well, right?
Yes, absolutely. Certainly it can pair it up with other SIP infrastructure. It has a gateway to PSTN, you know, traditional phone networks, and also a gateway to PBXs.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be used as in sort of an overlay fashion.
Hmm.
Where you have existing telephony infrastructure, but you want to start to enable these business processes with communications. So you could deploy Session Suite alongside the PBX to start using these web services capabilities.
And have you tried it out with other SIP systems? And if so, which ones?
I don't know the specifics. There's been general interoperability testing, as I mentioned, through this University of New Hampshire program.
Right.
And I'm quite confident we've done some interoperability testing with Asterisk.
Hmm. Okay. It sounds great. I can remember, I think it was 1996 that I did a cover story for Byte Magazine on CTI. And it was one of those, you know, it's right around the corner kind of things.
Yes.
And it has just continually frustrated me that, you know, here we are 10 years later and nobody can successfully initiate a conference call. And we've got, you know, essentially still got this complete Chinese wall between data and voice networking cultures. And, you know, I've just been so impatient to see that wall come down. And I think still we've got a ways to go. It's also frustrating to see how the systems that are becoming popular, like Skype, aren't ones that are going to enable the kinds of interop and the kinds of freeform integration that are the real promise of doing things this way.
Right.
So hats off to Skype for becoming as popular as it has and giving people the experience of doing voice over IP.
Yeah, it's interesting you brought up Skype and with the eBay acquisition. It's kind of funny that Blue Note launched its company itself at the same time that eBay announced the Skype acquisition.
Oh, is that right?
And from our perspective at Blue Note, it was like obvious why eBay would want Skype.
And why did you think?
Our thought was that eBay makes money off of every transaction, and the bigger value transactions make more money for eBay.
Mm-hmm.
But as people are putting up these storefronts, and if they're selling, you know, jewelry or cars or high-ticket items, there needs to be a greater level of trust in that transaction.
Mm-hmm.
And the phone channel provides the ability to communicate with that vendor.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps close more deals.
Yeah.
So that voice channel is important to them. And without something like Skype, they would have had to build out their own telephony network at almost like a carrier. So it really gave them the out-of-box communications.
That's a good thought. I think you're right. Is it conceivable that you would bridge to the Skype network?
It's not something that we've been talking about. And I hear a lot of enterprises not officially supporting Skype as part of what they do in business, although I've heard numbers that something like 30% of Skype users are business, using it for business purposes.
Sure. It's the same old story. It's frowned upon, but it's so darned useful that people can't really avoid it.
It's not something that I see in our immediate roadmap, but I have seen some open source projects that have been working on bridging Skype and SIP.
Yeah, I'm sure it's bound to happen. Well, excellent. Anything else that you want to mention while I've got you?
No, I certainly appreciate the time to share you. I think we covered the value here and certainly my excitement about the difference that communications enabling business processes through SOA enabled SIP system will provide.
Yeah, it makes a great deal of sense. And I wish you guys good luck with it.
Well, thank you very much, Sean.
Okay, take care.